Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live.
Sheffield in Focus is a magazine show that's of particular interest to people with low or no vision. We have guests,
library services,
what's on at the pictures,
theatre,
gossip,
events, general knowledge quiz,
poems
and stories. Tune in Tuesdays 3 while 5 on 93.2 FM.
That's Sheffield in Focus.
The Max Chance Show is now on from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Hear eclectic music and a bit of comedy.
There's a place I must go. There's a place I must go. It's not a place I have seen.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Community Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
We'll be right back.
Coming from my bones, sets my dog home. hope never to come back. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
Welcome to Sheffield Live here this afternoon. Sorry we've not been on for a few weeks, but we're back now. I'm Oliver Dixon. I'm joined by
Chris and Ollie. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm fine, thank you. It's good to be back here, actually.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I mean, we've been here quite a few times, but we've been having a few problems with the show, haven't we, Oliver? So finally, we got it back live now, but and looking forward to what you've got to do.
Yes. Well, a bit surreal sitting in what was usually your seat today.
I know it feels feels pretty strange to be in the co-presenter seat today. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you what show you're going to do today. So it's your day today, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, on this very very warm day here in Sheffield with the bright blue sky, we're going to talk about some sports today, I think. Whilst the summer's going on, and we've just had the Premier League fixtures announced just yesterday, but that's another story for another time. Just the unfortunate news from yesterday is Chris Wilder's departure for the second time from Sheffield United.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked about that, really. I mean, to say what he's done for the club, I mean, is he's turned it around. I mean, he's brought them up to ninth place in the Premier League when we were in Premiership. He brought us back from the brink of League One. Oh, and he shot us straight up to the Premiership in his first the first couple of years. And it usually takes a few years to get up to where it to back up to where it should be. And yeah, it's a shock really when he's actually got sacked. Because he's done more than what any other Championship manager's ever done is gave us 92 points in Championship, which is unbelievably hard to save, and we've still not gone up. And we've lost, all right, we've lost to Sunderland on the Premier in Wembley. But is that a sackable offence?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think it is. And it just seems strange to me that you've got the home manager, Ruben Sellers, is it?
Sellers, yeah.
And he finished, if I remember correctly, 21st in...
On the final day as well, if I'm not mistaken.
So, what's he going to bring to the club? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make any judgments or anything like right now because he's only just joined.
Yeah, trashing him or anything like that. Like I say, it remains to be seen what's going to be. I just find it strange that they just actually just bring a manager in straight away after they sacked Chris Wilder, and I think. Personally, I mean, this is my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we'd love to hear your opinions as well, but I think my opinion is, like, they should have stick with Chris Wilder because he did well this season. He worked with what he had. He was going to strengthen the squad. He had a few ideas on who to bring in, but it seemed to me that the owners had other plans.
Appears so, yeah.
So, whether it's a huge gamble, I think. It's a huge gamble. Now, is it going to pay off? Remains to be seen.
I mean, there's still a good 2 months left until the season starts, and there's not been any new signings yet, has there?
No, I don't. I mean, I haven't. I mean, like you say, it's 2 months yet. I mean, I don't know when we're going to. If we're doing any signings or anything, we don't know. It remains to be seen at the moment. It's a bit of a tricky topic to talk about, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like fresh off the news, just from last night. So it's kind of, well, you know, it's. It is hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's a shock as well.
And I mean, I would love to hear what our audience has got to say about this as well. So if you want to get in touch with us about what you think about Chris Wilder sacking and bringing in Ruben Sellers, the home manager for our Sheffield United manager, please get in touch. You can get in touch with us on our Facebook page. We also have our very own We also have our very own email at chrisandelly89@gmail.com, and we also have our very own Sheffield Live webpage. So, if you want to get in touch with us, please do. I mean, it'll be an interesting topic.
Very interesting topic. We'll be back after a few minutes whilst we play this amazing song from the Beatles, where we'll be talking about Chris Wilder's highlights from both terms as Sheffield United manager.
Rolling, he got hair down to his knees.
Come Together by the Beatles here on Sheffield Live. We're just going to talk about some highlights from Chris Wilder in both terms, as he had two terms here. After taking them to the Premier League, as Chris mentioned earlier, and returning in December 2023, just over 18 months ago, or pretty much 18 months ago.
I just want to say, before we actually do that, I mean, it's such a great song, the Beatles, how they come together. I mean, have you heard of Michael Jackson's version as well?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to say, I mean, he's also done a very good job of it, and there was also another one, but it's, I'm not too sure about the latest one that was done. I think it was Gary Clark Jr.,
No, and I've not heard that one just
yeah,
yet.
It was too rock heavy, I think. But Michael Jackson did a very funkier version of it.
I imagine so.
again, two great artists. I mean, the Beatles, legends. You know, you can't beat the
geniuses,
Beatles.
Geniuses, as they've been often described.
And Michael Jackson himself as well. I mean, the king of pop. And you're never going to get those again, unfortunately. You're never going to get bands like that. So, but yeah, going back to Chris Wilder, I mean, to say that he's had two terms, I mean, I don't think we should have sacked him in the first place.
No, that was a bit, there was some stuff surrounding that as well. It was, during the pandemic, wasn't it? It was during the lockdown season.
Something like that. And I think we had an argument with one of the... the owner. That's when we sacked him, I think, because he wasn't giving him what he wanted.
I remember correctly, yeah.
And then we brought in Paul Heckingbottom.
It was Yukanovich before that.
That's the one. It's a very funny name to pronounce, so sorry about that. I can't. You were closer, I think.
Yeah, Slavisa Jokanović. Apologies if I've mispronounced that, the name.
But, no, I mean, I thought he might have done well. But, again, I think, like you say, if you only get so much money in... I think this is the problem with football now. It's not just about a game of football, it's about a game of Monopoly. If you spend the money right, you get great players. If you don't have enough adequate money, you have to work with what you've got and hope for the best. And sometimes that's not always good enough. I mean, going off topic, I mean, off Sheffield United and Chris Wilder and that. I mean, what's your thoughts on Man City spending $500 million? And again, I'll say this again, folks. £500 million... for a 10-year contract on Erling Haaland.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Erling Haaland is quite possibly, at the minute, the best striker in the world, both statistically and having seen him play throughout last season. He's definitely up there. Top three strikers in the world, definitely.
Well, I've got to say, though, Oliver, I mean, this is my opinion, but... You could spend all that money. I mean, you could spend billions and billions and billions of pounds on one player. But we don't always guarantee you success. I mean, it's like, if I remember that, we had Grebeck, who was the third goalkeeper in the world.
And what did he at the time? And now, all of a sudden, it's...
For Sheffield United, we had Grebeck. And what did he do for Sheffield United? Not really. So it's, you know, does it make you think that the money you actually been spending for is actually worth it?
Well, it's, as I said, it's a lot of money. Even if you are the greatest player in the world, like a Messi or Ronaldo, I don't think they're even worth that much still.
Yeah.
Because that is way more. They're worth a lot of money, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money, a bit too much money, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, like you said, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, I mean, the football legends. And yet, again, even if you did come to Sheffield United, it doesn't guarantee success. You know, we could even have Eric Cantona for all we know. You know, who was one of the greatest footballers, and yet he could come to Sheffield United. But again, it doesn't always doesn't always prove that they're good for the team. I mean, it's like saying that. It's also like the manager as well. We had Brian Robson, England captain, wasn't
former,
it?
Former Manchester United as well.
And Manchester United. Yeah. And we thought, after Neil Warnock, he was going to do wonders for us. And what happened? We almost got relegated.
They're big shoes to fill, mind, in fairness. Warnock left a big, big shoes to fill. And I don't think anyone, apart from Chris Wilder, I think, could fill Warnock's shoes.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's like with any other manager, though. I mean, like Sir Alex Ferguson from Manchester United. And they've got all these other managers, and we've not put a patch on him. I mean, you get some good spells and you get some bad spells. I mean, you had some great ones with Sir Alex Ferguson because he's always been at the top. But I mean, like, sorry, I'm a bit croaky here.
It's the heat.
But, yeah, I mean, like, for all the other managers that we had, they haven't performed to the best of their ability, I don't think.
No. Once again, big shoes to fill. Sir Alex Ferguson. I don't think they've had a manager you can say was, like, top. Because I think Sir Alex Ferguson will always be their best ever manager. But Sir Matt Busby, not far behind as well. They're two greatest managers. With Manchester United, I just think a big rebuild is needed. I'm sure, because Ruben Amorim is staying, I think.
Yeah.
And after seeing what he did at Sporting CP in Portugal.
I want your opinion on this as well. I mean, obviously we've got to be careful with what we've got to say, but what's your thoughts on England, the England team with Senegal? Now, I would have thought that would have been an easy match to win, yet we lost 3-1. What's your thoughts on that?
I watched that game as well. Considering it was a friendly as well, yeah. I mean, good for Senegal, don't get me wrong.
They bought
quite a few fans to Nottingham as well.
Of course.
But I don't really know how to... I'm not sure if it was just like an off day or it's just like... Because it was a friendly.
Yeah.
Because I know England aren't... Like, we're not usually like that, but the game before the Andorra game, a 1-0 win when it could have been a lot more...
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, Tuchel is still new to the thing, but is it like just a, like, don't like go too far first, just build your way up, because once the tournaments come along, then we just like shine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be the case.
Well, I hope that is true. I hope that is true. I mean, like, especially like you said with the Andorra game, I mean, you're expecting more than one goal, definitely. And I think, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if they've got that fire in them anymore. But no, it's like, do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's like, compared to what they did with what Gareth Southgate did. Now whether it's because it's a new manager, if they're trying different things, I don't know. I mean, I think time will tell. I mean, I'm willing to give him a chance, you know.
Of course.
I mean, hopefully we will do well for us. But to say that we lost against Senegal doesn't bode well.
I mean, Senegal has some very good players in their squad currently, and they are one of Africa's greatest teams.
Yeah.
Have been for a while. Few players in the Premier League as well playing there too, and I think pretty confident we'll see them in the World Cup next year, yeah. When the African qualifier resumes later this year.
I mean, what would you like to see happen, Oliver?
In terms of...
Well, anything really. I mean, what would you like to see with the England squad?
I think just like that fire to get going again. Because once the fire starts, it never goes out. We're always on top. A bit like, I wouldn't say the Euros, because with the Euros, it took us a while last year to like start properly performing. Like when you could say that game was amazing. But like the England who we've known in the past, I mean, even go back to the 1966 squad, they had that fire.
Yeah.
That's something I like to see, like in that squad, because we've got some quality players. And I think we just need to use them to their best of their ability, and we'll end up doing very well in that tournament. I'm not saying we'll win or anything, but I think we'll do very well if that's the case.
I mean, there's been a couple of times when we had Gareth Southgate that we were close to winning, and I mean, it took us to two finals, which is more than what any current manager has ever done. I mean, I think he's been our best man. I mean, controversial people may say about this, but he's actually been our best manager since Alf Ramsey.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, and I mean, a lot of people... I mean, some of his tactics were questionable, of course, but I mean, he was very lucky with the last Euro, with Jude Bellingham scoring that goal. So he was literally saved by the bell on that. I think some of his tactics were quite questionable, like sending subs on extra time and stuff like that. It's like, why? Why didn't you do it earlier? You know, I mean, you're too late. You played him too late. And when he came back, Jude Bellingham, and scored that goal, that was a miracle. That was a miracle.
No, the miracle.
Yeah. And how on earth we came back from that, I mean, that we're, yeah.
That's when the fire unbelievable. Started.
And then after that, I mean, yeah, we kept going back. I mean, we kept losing for the first part of it, but we always kept back into it.
Yeah, we...
And it was just a shame that we couldn't finish the job in the final game, really. But second's not bad. I mean, it's not brilliant, but it's not bad. So,
well, that is something we've got to look forward to in just under a year's time. The 2026 World Cup played in North America across Canada, the USA, and Mexico. But for now, we're going to go back to some music, and this particular song is from a band, but an artist we sadly lost last week. Another genius songwriter, so I'm just going to let this song play.
Brian Wilson is the name, by the way.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. I'd be with you.
Two very amazing songs from the Beach Boys, God Only Knows and Wouldn't It Be Nice, in memory of Brian Wilson, who we sadly lost last week, and a big loss to the world of music.
Yeah, great legend, legendary songs as well. You're never going to get another one like this again. I mean, yeah, brilliant song, brilliant songwriter. Just such a shame.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there with some of the best songwriters, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, you know, it's like you say, you get the great, all the great songwriters. I mean, it's like, you can only get one. I mean, people can try and copy, but you're never going to get the same again.
No,
you know?
Never.
I mean, yeah, you can get tributes and stuff like that, but yeah, there's always one a certain person. Like, there's always one Michael Jackson. There's always one Prince. There's always
I always say the same.
You know, I mean, I've got to say I like Bruno Mars, but and he's trying to copy Michael Jackson and Prince. But again, a great artist, but
don't go into copying too much.
Yeah, and I think that's what you need to do. You need to have your own identity as well. That's my
opinion. Supporting music. Yeah. Just going back to sport, and we've talked about Chris Wilder, and now we're going to talk about the new man who's being appointed by Sheffield United, Ruben Selles.
Right, well, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about Ruben Selles. I mean, and all that I actually know is that he's the home manager. And he finished 21st.
On the final day.
On the final day. And he's our new manager. He's a new manager. Now, I'm hoping he's going to be a great manager for us. You know, I mean, I'm going to keep my options open. You know, we've got to... We're going to see. Give him a chance. See what we've got to say. See what he can do for us. Hopefully, he can turn things around. I mean, but again, like I say, I would have stuck with Chris personally. For me, I think Chris Wilder would have been a great. Would have should have been around for another season. But again, like I say, we'll give Ruben Selles a chance, and we'll see where we go from there.
I mean, I've only known about him the last couple of years. I know he did. He had a short stint at Southampton, which was the season they went down first. So it wasn't really his fault what happened. I know he had a spell at Reading, and then Hull, and now he's here.
Do you know what gets me though? Is that it's always the managers that get sacked. Do you think that's really fair, or do you think it should be the players as well that should go as well? Because I think I don't think it's always the manager's fault. I think it's the players as well. But it seems to me
depends.
But it seems to me that it's always the players that gets that keeps the jobs, but it's the manager that gets sacked.
I mean, it's unheard of players being sacked unless they've done something maybe. Like off the pitch, and they get but that's usually a suspension. It depends really what they do and how they perform.
Yeah.
But it's always the manager or coach or whoever who ends up getting the sack if necessary.
Sure.
But with players, I'm not too sure about actually.
Yeah, I think it's a strange game of football. I mean. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a massive, massive fan. I mean, I'm not a die-hard fan. Like, I don't take it seriously if it win or lose. I think to myself, I think it's sacrilege what I'm going to say it to all football fans, but I think, like, if they win, they win. And if they lose, they lose. You know, I don't get it why so... a lot of people are so passionate, but a lot of people are so passionate about football.
It's huge,
but to me, but to me, I mean, that's but to me, I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, I'm just not sure why it's such a controversial game, really.
Never used to be. But now in this modern day football, a lot more's sprung up and a lot more has been created.
Yeah, I just think it's just a game, and if you lose, you lose. If you win, you win. You know, but that's again, I'm ignorant to it. You know, so forgive me, anybody. Don't come here and riot. You know, I'm just saying. But we'll see what he does. I think we'll have to see what he does, Ruben Selles, and then we'll take him away.
I mean, he's no fool to the game. I mean, he's had some experience with managing. I just wonder if, because he's Portuguese, I wonder if there'll be like a Portuguese flair in the squad, where the players from Portugal, I mean, who've signed players who he knows. I mean, there's already that sort of Brazilian link with Gus Harmer and Vinicius Souza.
Yeah.
I think there might be, because I don't know if United's ever had not in recent times, but I think there might be a Portuguese surge almost.
I just want to correct you there. He's not Portuguese. He's actually Spanish.
Spanish, sorry.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. So he's actually Spanish. So sorry, Ruben, if you're actually listening.
There might be like a Spanish surge in the squad.
So, but yeah, I mean, like I say, I mean, time will tell. So we'll give him a chance and then we'll take it from here. But I think we should move on from football now. I mean, have you got any plans for the summer, Oliver?
Not at the minute. No, patiently waiting for the football season to start again. Having seen the Premier League fixtures yesterday, I'm quite excited to for the Premier League to come back.
Yeah, are you interested in tram lines? Are you going to tram lines this year?
I haven't got a ticket this year, but I could be volunteering there. I've applied for it anyways, so yeah, there might be a chance I'll see some of the acts on, because it's a very good lineup this year, actually.
Yeah,
I think Pulp's the big one.
Yeah,
headlining on the Friday night, of course.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean, I've applied. I'm actually going to Tramlines this year for a few interviews, so I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we're going to get Pulp in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's very early doors at the moment. We don't know who we've got at the moment, but time will tell. Time will tell, and we'll keep you updated on that later on, because we don't find out until near tramlines. So
yeah, it's about 2 weeks before, is it?
Something like that.
A couple of weeks before.
A couple of weeks before. So it's going to be interesting who we're going to get. But watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. No, I mean, if you are a massive fan of tramlines, I mean, it's about £150 a ticket.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money, isn't it? It's like a local
festival. I mean, you get people from all across the country who come up,
sure,
to Hillsborough Park as well to watch these acts. But it's been massive in Sheffield for years now.
It has, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I wasn't a festival goer. I wasn't even interested in tramlines at one point. I mean, but now that I've started going into it, I've actually enjoyed it now. I mean, I think the first time I went in, I actually did an interview with Reverend and the Makers.
Good band.
And, yeah, nice bloke as well, really nice bloke. And, you know, I tried to get a few others in as well. I mean, there was one Sheffield band that came, did it last year. And they weren't doing any interviews, unfortunately, and that was Human League. I were a bit gutted about that one, but never mind. Hopefully I can get Pulp this time. I think for future bands, I would love to see Def Leppard.
I think, like, one last... whenever they come back to Sheffield, it's always special.
Yeah.
Because I know they've done the arena a few times. Can't remember. It might have been Bramall Lane they did one time.
They did Bramall Lane with Motley Crue.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember what year it was. I mean, I think it was about 2 to 3 years ago or something like that. I mean, I don't think it was that long, was it? I mean, it was Motley Crue and Def Leppard. But we played at what was known as the Len Mill, which, unfortunately, has closed down now, unfortunately.
I think it's next week. Well, that's something we'll get onto just quickly before we finish. It's the Red Mills last week. Next week, I think.
And it's a shame. It's a shame because it's, you know, that's where our music was born from.
It's arguably Yorkshire's most famous music venue.
Yeah. I mean, we found Pulp, we found Arctic Monkeys, Def Leppard, Coldplay, they all came to the Len Mill, and to shut down such an iconic venue is so sad. So sad.
But we will have more on that next week. So tune in from 12 o'clock next Thursday, where we will also be playing some songs that created some bands, as Chris has just mentioned, in the Red Mill, as we say goodbye to this iconic venue.
And I want to say before we go, because we're coming near to the end of the show now, if you are interested in volunteering for our show, I mean, we are currently looking for volunteers, whether you want to do a producing role or a presenting role, then get in touch with us. We have our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have an email address at chrisdenally89@gmail.com. And we also have our very own Sheffield Live webpage. So, I'm losing my voice here. And I think it's because of the heat, so do forgive me on that. But, Oliver, close the show, mate.
Well, thank you for having me in the hot seat today, and there's many more to come. We're going to leave you with In Excess's Never Tear Us Apart.
It's true. Don't have to tell you. I love your precious heart. I was standing. You were there. Two worlds below.